Let the Galaxy Burn. Narrated by a Border Prince. Deus Ex Mechanicus by Andy Chambers. The scream of the engines fought against the howling winds in a terrifying crescendo of doom. Hypervelocity microparticles skittered across the hull of the ship like skeletal fingers as it wallowed in the storm, shuddering and dropping by steps as the pilots struggled for control. In the midst of the tumult, Lacius Danziger, tech priest engineer, Votaris Lauder, Illuminant of Mars, adept of the cult Mechanicus, was struggling to open up the skull of that failing pilot, and cursing in a distinctly unpriestly fashion as he struggled to find the right tools for the job.
Damn it! Also, find me a hydrocoupling, my boy! We'll need one if I can free these accursed fasteners. Look in the vestibule!
He tried to keep his voice calm so as not to frighten his acolyte, but Ossel's face was pallid in his cowl as he nodded and hurried out through the rusty bulkhead hatch. The ship's rattling, brass-bound altimeter showed them at a height of nearly 7 kilometres above the planet. They had already been dropping out of control for 12, as Lacius turned back to the rune-etched panel enclosing the ship's pilot. Another violent lurch smashed his shaven skull against it, triggering an engram patch he had only recently divined from his auto-shrine. It was about their too rapidly approaching destination, and ran in confusing counterpoint from his right optic viewer as he tried to focus on repairing the nav spirit.
Neogeddon is a dead world.
The ringing impact of Lacius's metal-shod head had partially freed the rusting keybolts. With a whispered prayer for forgiveness from the already distraught machine spirit, he bent to the task. He carefully unscrewed the panel, murmuring the rite of unbinding and ensuring that he removed the keys in the correct cardinal directions. The ghostly image of a dun-coloured sphere hovered in his right eye. Red text scrolled past it.
Orbital distance 078 AU, equatorial diameter 9749 kilometer, rotation 34.6 hours, axial tilt 000.
As he'd feared, the coupling between the auger spike and the pilot stone had ruptured, blinding the pilot to its landing beacon. He checked the altimeter as he began the ritual of dislocation to remove the charred remnants. Less than 2 kilometres of howling winds now lay beneath their rocking hull.
Weather, sea storms. Also, where's that coupling, boy?
Here, father. The first one was faulty and I had to go back for another.
0% precipitation. Wind speed constant. 24 knots. Variance 76 knots.
Lacarius took the twist of hydroplastic without comment, but silently gave praise to the Omnisire that the lad had been attentive enough to spot the difference. Under current circumstances, a normally forgivable sin of oversight could prove fatal. Lacius took a deep breath to steady himself before beginning the ritual of insertion.
Life forms, autochthonic, none, introduced, none.
Less than a league of air remained before they would hurtle into solid rock. His servo hand shook as he tried to apply the prescribed number of half turns to the coupling mounts. He yearned to simply call the rite finished and resurrect the pilot, but years of discipline and doctrine drove him on as he completed the benediction against failure, applied the sacred unguents, and retrieved the panel so he could begin the final rites of protection and sealing.
Archaeotech resource, limited Xeno artifacts, / at 60 million years, pre-GA, class Omega.
Father, I can see dust dunes below us. I think we're going to crash.
Notes, first catalogue. 7/234751M32, Rogue Trader, Zytel Parnaview, Orbital Augury only, Annexus Imperialis.
Mechanisms, I restore thy spirit. Let the machine god breathe half-life unto thy veins and render thee functional.
Lacius firmly depressed the activation rune on the pilot's casing and prayed.
Landed. 6/8
832-0021-M35, Explorat Omegas Duriel Lavank, Expedition Lost, landed 7/362-238-M37, Explorat Omegas Prime Holocene Z, Expedition Lost.
The ship's engines rose in a triumphant scream to drown out the rushing wind and skittering dust. Laxius and Ossel felt the heavy weight of high G deceleration as the ungainly craft steadied itself and slowed. Laxius could see dust dunes too now, through the curving port in the ship's prow, but the dunes with their trailing streamers of blowing dust were dwarfed by the serried ranks of sharp-angled black monoliths which rose up around the ship as it dipped towards them. Ossel let out an involuntary gasp as the scale of the structures became apparent. The monoliths were mountain-sized edifices of harsh, alien rock, cutting the horizon into a sawtooth edge or a predator's maw.
Landed 6/839-641-M41, Explorator Magus Prime Eston Eagle, Service Survey, Xeno Structures Catalogued.
The ship changed course, angling towards a vast, dark triangle which blotted out half the sky. The pilot spirit was faithfully following the beacon, bringing them in towards a tiny ring of light in the shadows below it. There lay the explorator's camp. Gritty sand crunched underfoot, and a cold, stinging wind blew more of it into their faces as they stepped down to the landing ground. Patchwork figures of steel and flesh were rolling towards them on armoured treads. Laxius and Ossel waited by the ship and made no sudden moves.
"See there, Ossel. The explorators have invoked a laser mesh for the protection of the camp. How powerful do you say it is?"
"I see 3 transformers, engines on this side of the camp. Assuming the same number on the far side, I would estimate 10 to 20 gigawatts, Father."
The figures came closer. They were Praetorians, bionically reconstructed warrior servants of the machine god, their cadaverous faces gazed stonily from the nest of targeting scopes and data wires, gun barrels and energy tubes tracked Laxius and Ossel until they halted. A chest-mounted speaker on one crackled into life.
"2 life forms identified. Clarified, non-hostile. Please follow Father Laxius, Acolyte Ossel."
They followed a pair of heavy servitors between low buildings of prefabricated armor plastic panelling towards a central command sphere. Ossel pointed to one of the smaller structures which had its panels folded back to create a workshop lit from within by welding arcs and showers of sparks.
"What works are being undertaken here, Father?"
Laxius repressed a chill sensation of foreboding.
"They are reinitializing servitors, Ossel. Evidently there has been some accident or mishap which has rendered the units non-functional."
He forbore to comment on the row of ready caskets outside the workshop, containers for tech priests whose biological components were fit only for incorporation into new servitors. Several priests must have died already. The Praetorians motioned them into the command sphere and remained on guard outside. Inside was a scene of barely organized chaos. Wiring cascaded from panels and conduits, devices of 100 types thrummed, buzzed and sparked. Screenplates flickered and scrolled through endless lines of scripture. A robed priest detached himself from a group clustering around the central dais and addressed Laxius.
"Adept Danziger, your arrival has been greatly anticipated. I am Adept Gnome, Lexamechanic Magus Tarsius. I have the honour of analysing and compiling data on this expedition."
Norm was gaunt and emotionless, only his lack of bionic enhancement and priestly robes marking him apart from the servitors. 2 other priests gathered behind him. Norm pointed to each in turn and pronounced their roles with toneless efficiency.
"Adept Santos Artisan, responsible for camp construction and maintenance."
A rotund man nodded. He was heavily rebuilt, with a subsidiary lifting arm at his shoulder and a mass of diagnostic probes in place of his left hand and eye.
"Adept Bror, Rune Priest, Extrapolation and Theory."
Bror was slight and nervous-looking, and seemed to be on the edge of speaking when Gnome cut him off. Gnome and Bror evidently didn't get along. Gnome gestured to the other robed figure within the chamber.
Adepts Renelald, Kostos, and Adso are engineers like yourself, their areas of expertise covering the mysteries of generation, augury, and meticulation. Adept Vartinian is absentia, attending to the servitors at present.
Renold, Kostos, and Adso looked up briefly as their names were mentioned and gave a perfunctory nod before bending back to their work.
Blessings of the Omnisci be upon you all, Lacius said. I am to assume that you are the leader of the expedition, Adept Gnome?
No. Explorator Magus Primus Reston Eagle has that blessing. He will be joining us shortly.
Can you tell me why I have been summoned here, then? I know that this is an important undertaking. After all, it has already made me late for my own funeral.
If Gnome understood the joke, he made no sign, but Boar grinned behind his hand. Gnome replied,
Yes, you were scheduled for dissemination at the termination of your last assignment. A post with the Officio Assassinorum, I understand. You must be disappointed that your engrams cannot yet be joined with the Machine God.
In truth, it is my belief that I serve better as a living being than a collection of memories and servitor wetware.
Understandable and very biological.
Something close to disdain passed across Gnome's features when he said biological.
I see that you have never considered undertaking the Unction of Clear Thought.
The Unction of Clear Thought? What is that, Father? Blurted Ossel, forgetting that he should be seen and not heard amongst such adepts. Gnome replied smoothly, apparently not troubled by the acolyte's gauchiness.
The full utilization of cerebral mass is a simple matter of isolating our thoughts from the rigors and distractions of emotion. Hunger, fear, joy, boredom, and so forth. This we know as the Unction of Clear Thought.
A common surgical practice amongst lexomechanics, Lacius told Ossel, whose renowned cognitive abilities are enhanced thereby.
At the price of becoming an emotionalist automaton, he thought to himself, before adding more diplomatically,
In my own role as engineer, I have always found crude emotions such as fear and pain to be useful motivators under the right circumstances.
Indeed,
Gnome said, warming to his subject matter.
Studies of stress. Splendid! This must be our new expert in cryostasis.
Gnome was cut off by a newcomer who had lurched into the chamber like an animated scarecrow, all gangling arms and legs. His narrow, vulpine head, scrawny neck and thin body conspired to complete the illusion. He grinned ferociously at Lacius.
Now you're finally here, we can get on with it. Splendid!
Lacius bowed deeply.
Magus Eagle, I presume.
That's right. I see you've met the others and Gnome's about to treat you to a sermon.
Magus Eagle winked conspiratorially at Lacius, bouncing up and down on his heels as if he couldn't contain his delight. Lacius was astonished. He was used to a certain amount of eccentricity among senior members of the Mechanicus, explorators in particular, but Eagle seemed to be verging on the edge of lunacy.
You come highly recommended, you know. Highly recommended. 2 centuries of experience?
Almost 50 years aboard a single craft, servicing a single sarcophagus, Magus. Admittedly, that was of alien design, and its failure would have brought about my immediate dissemination, but I cannot imagine how I may be of service here.
In truth, Lacius had a strong and unpleasant suspicion exactly why cryostasis was of interest to this famed explorator. But he wished to hear it said out loud.
You can't guess. I bet you can. But you want to hear it anyway. You're a sharp one. I like that.
Eagle grinned lopsidedly. Do you know what this place is? Eagle thrust his arms outward to encompass the whole world.
Neogeddon, a dead world.
No! Eagle thrust up a finger to make his point. Not dead. Sleeping. Sleeping these 600 million years...
Lacius' stomach underwent a queasy lurch. Eagle composed himself a little and went on.
Let me begin at the beginning. Over 600 million years ago, a race we know as the Necron Tear arose and spread across the galaxy. What little we know of these giants of prehistory has been learned from a handful of so-called dead worlds, like this one. Scattered at the very fringes of the galaxy, on each world stand vast, monolithic structures which have remained all but impenetrable to every device at the hand of man.
This level of technology evident in their construction is almost incomprehensible to us, and many explorators have been lost winning the fragmentary knowledge we do have. On my first expedition to Neo-Gaiden, we gained certain measurements and calibrations which are singular to the dead worlds of the Outer Rim, these ancient seats of the Necron Tear. These have enabled myself and Adeb Bor to fashion a device, a key, if you will, which can unlock these structures without awakening the occupants. Adeb Bor had grown increasingly agitated as Magus Eagle spoke, and now he interjected.
Magus, the last attempt caused an exponential jump in attacks.
Gnome cut him off smoothly.
Adeb Bor, those projections have not been verified. Adeb Sentos has confirmed the current threat is well within the capacity of our defences to contain.
The current threat, yes, but if things go wrong...
Adeb Sentos seemed affronted by Bor's implied criticism.
We have 15 gigawatt laser mesh, 20 arm servitors and storm bunkers built out of cubit-thick Titan-grade armor-plast panels. What could possibly go wrong?
Eagle had passively watched the exchange with fatherly humour and a slight grin, but now he became animated again.
Ah, yes, speaking of which, I believe they're due to attack any time soon. Stations, everyone!
Lachius's queasy stomach lurched upwards towards his mouth. Sirens wailed a second later.
You mean they attack at the same time every day?
Well, every dusk, strictly speaking.
Lachius, Ossel, and Bor were in an observation gallery at the top of the command sphere. As a rune priest adept, Bor was trained to piece together fragmentary information and make a speculative theorem, something akin to black magic to most tech priests. As such, Bor had explained, he was detailed to make observations of their attacks, try to understand their tactics, strengths, and weaknesses, and then feed effective protocols to the Praetorians.
I thought it was already night, Ossel said.
No, Ossel. It's always this dark because of the dust in the atmosphere. Most of the sun's light is reflected back into the void,
Lachius replied.
Adeb Bor, what are these attackers? Despite Adeb Santos's reassurances, I note a number of casualties have already been incurred. They appear to be mechanisms, humanoid, skeletal, most assuredly armed. We have not been able to secure one for study despite strenuous efforts. And I do not note an astropath, adept amongst those spoken of so far.
Hesitantly, Bor looked up at Lachius. His tattooed face was underlit by the greenly glowing glass of the augurs before him, but to Lachius, the sickly pallor was underwritten by a deeper fear.
Adept Arius disappeared prior to the very first attack. I fear Magus Eagle has not fully thought through the implications of this sight. There are machine spirits here which have functioned continuously for 600 million years.
Bor would have continued, but an alarm began chiming, quietly but insistently. The auger screen flashed and displayed a grid with moving icons. Bor glanced down and said,
"The Praetorians have spotted something. We should have it at any moment. 3, 8 energy sources, 600 meters out on the west side. We'll have visual soon."
Another glass flashed and displayed icons. Bor was all business now, his fears forgotten in his devotion to his work.
8 more, at 600, and closing from the southeast. They're tempting us to split our fire. I expect, yes, here it is, a third group at 600 meters north, waiting to see which way we go.
Outside, the dark skies had deepened to an impenetrable inky blackness, which the powerful arc lights of the camp barely kept at bay. Bor fed attack vectors and coordinates to the Praetorians while Lachius and Ossel clustered around an auger glass. The laser mesh was shown as a ragged line of X's representing the ground-based refraction spines. Red triangles approached in serried ranks from two directions and held back at another angle. The Praetorians were represented by cog shapes, in respect for their selfless devotion to the machine god. The Praetorians were moving southwest, and an exchange of fire soon took place across the laser mesh. The tiny bolts flying back and forth on the glass were eerily echoed by the flashes visible through the observation ports. More frightening were the snaps and booms like distant lightning that came rolling across the compound. The mass fire of the Praetorians was overwhelming the southwest group. The red triangles dimmed in quick succession, some disappearing altogether. Only two of the Praetorian cogs showed the solid black of non-function, but even as Lacius watched, one of the red triangles brightened momentarily and its shot turned another icon solid black. On the west, the enemy was at the laser mesh, advancing through it in a tight wedge and destroying the spines with tightly controlled salvos. Red lines flickered across the interloper's progress as detection beams were broken and the continuous energy flow of the mesh jumped to full output, searing through the ranks. Time and again, the icons dimmed but recovered. They would soon break through. The northern group began to move.
"The north group are coming," Lacius said. "I see them."
Most of the Praetorians turned west, leaving a small group to finish off the tattered southern group. The artificial lightning storm was getting closer. Ossel was not paying attention to the glass anymore. The scenes unfolding outside in plain sight froze him. Stray shots flashed into the camp, exploding in sparks or gouging glittering welts in Santos's storm bunkers. Several Praetorians were in view, driving parallel with the lesser mesh and firing at something out of view. More came into view from the camp, closing in around the spectral alien cohort, forcing its way in from the west. The foe was terrible to see, their shining metal skulls and skeletons too symbolic to be missed. Here is death. They had been built to communicate in any language, across any gulf of time and to any race. This was not the worst of them. These harbingers seemed in some horrible sense to live. Each was a mechanism, to be sure, but one with a fierce enemy, like the idol of some ferocious primitive god. Not only were they death, but they manifested a horrible sense of passion, even joy, in their work. As machine spirits, they were the most obscene perversions Lacius had ever seen, and inwardly, part of him wept to see such things could still exist.
"Father," Ossel said, "the northern group."
Lacius couldn't tear his eyes away from the battle between the Praetorians and death machines below. The energy weapons of the aliens were frightening in their potency, their actinic bolts visibly flaying through whatever they struck, layer by layer, like some obscene medical scan compressed into a heartbeat. The warrior servitors fought back with plasma fire and armor-piercing missiles, cutting down the skeletal apparitions one by one, but four more servitors had been cut down by the enemy's deadly accurate fire. Bor used the same tactic again. The bulk of Praetorians broke off and wheeled north. A small group was left to finish off the alien machines, which kept stubbornly rising after hits that would have stopped a dreadnought. Lacius was grateful for Bor's obvious tactical skill. If either the western or southern groups were not completely eliminated, the foe would undoubtedly get a foothold inside the camp. The trouble was, the Praetorians moving north to parry the third thrust numbered only six. For the first time, they would not outnumber the enemy.
"Bor, set the northern face of the mesh to maximum sensitivity," Lacius said. "But the spines will fire continuously. Dissipate into the windblown dust."
"Mica dust,"
Lacius corrected. Bor grinned and began a rite of supplication. The Praetorians fought well on the northern side. They used a storm bunker to narrow the angles, so they only fought part of the enemy at once. Clattering forward on armoured treads, a salvo of missiles scorched across the void black sky and cut down two enemy machines as they emerged from the lasmesh. Lightning crack discharges of plasma burned another, but a critical overheat damaged one of the servitors as his shoulder-mounted plasma cannon suffered meltdown. Five faced five. The storm bunker was being torn to pieces, its adamantium sheath impossibly burning with metal fires. With a groan, it collapsed in on itself, revealing more of the foe at the inner edge of the mesh. The Praetorians lost two of their number for only one of the enemy. Three armoured servitors were left against four skull-faced killers. The aliens grinned their hideous, fixed grins as they stepped forward. Without warning, the laser mesh crackled into a frenzy of discharges. Gigawatts of energy were dissipated into the swirling dust particles, pointlessly scattering their power in flashes of heat and light. The flashes were harmless, but powerful enough to temporarily blind the optics of the nearby skeleto machines. Their fire slackened momentarily, and the Praetorians used the opportunity to halt and let rip with every weapon in their arsenal. Bolter shells, missiles, and plasma carved through the silhouetted enemy. Ossil gaped at the scopes. A moment ago, he had thought he was going to be killed. But instead, they had won. They had won. Lakia stood looking at Magus Eggle's key, a 15-meter-long phase field generator, poised like some giant complex syringe of steel and brass over the unyielding black stone of the alien structure. The smooth, blank wall sloped away to giddying heights, making an artificial horizon of solid black against the grey sky. Adept Renold was connecting power couplings at the nether regions of the key machine, quietly reciting catechisms as he anointed each socket and clamped the cables in place. Noam stood nearby, arguing with Bor about something. 4 paces further along the key, the Magus himself was making fine adjustments to the controls. 4 Praetorians were arrayed nearby, their torsos swivelling back and forth as they scanned for danger. Lakius had just completed a long shift restoring what Praetorians and servitors they could from the casualties sustained in the attack. The unseen Adept Vertinian, whose duty it was to undertake such blessings, had been crushed to death along with Adept Adso and 6 servitors in one of Santos's Titan-grade storm bunkers. Adept Santos himself had lost an arm when he attempted to secure an alien machine which had reactivated. If the alien machine spirit kept to their rigid timetable, the next attack was due in 6 hours. The thought of it crawled at the back of Lakius's mind constantly, a nagging fear which grew minute by minute, hour by hour. He wished he could find some reason to dissuade the Magus, stop him pursuing this patently dangerous study, but his authority was beyond question on an expedition like this. The doctrine of the Mechanicus was clear. Entire planetary populations of tech priests could be sacrificed in the pursuit of sacred knowledge. The individual weighed nothing against the cult Mechanicus. But was this sacred knowledge or something alien and tainted? All set? Magus Eggerl trilled to Renold, who nodded his assent. Places, everyone. Lakius, you stand with me. We can all chant the litany of activation together. Chanting in choral tones, Eagle made a series of connections and static started to jump from the generator, accompanied by a rising humming noise and the reek of ozone. The black stone shimmered, glittering like quicksilver as it started to deform away from the spiral needle of the generator. An arch was appearing, tall and tapering, of perfect dimensions and straightness. Within its angles, the stone writhed and coiled like a living thing before fading away like mist to reveal the mouth of a corridor. The perfect alien symmetry of it was marred only by the head and shoulder of a Praetorian, which appeared to be sunk into the wall on the left-hand side, mute testimony to a previously failed attempt to penetrate the structure. Unperturbed by its silent brother, the first Praetorian moved into the corridor, its powerful floodlights piercing the darkness within. Ossil gasped. The outer shell of the structure had made him imagine the inside to be the same, unadorned stone, but the lights picked out complex traceries of silvery metal set into every surface. Walls, floor and ceiling twinkled with captured starlight. A murmur of wonder rose from the gathered tech priests. Magus Eggle grinned with delight. You see, a simple adjustment of 3 degrees was all it took. Quite fascinating. I haven't seen anything quite like this since the moons on Proxima Hydracta, he chuckled. Lakius felt relieved. The Magus was evidently more accomplished than he appeared. One by one, trailing sensory cables and power threads behind, the Techno-Magi entered the alien structure. The corridor, with its rich silvery filigrees, sloped down and away. After 12 meters, it dropped down in knee-high steps for another 100. The Praetorians struggled to negotiate the giant steps, laboriously lowering themselves over each one. The slow progress gave Lakius ample time to examine the silver-traced corridor walls. They were undoubtedly depicting script in a language of some form. Spines and walls marched in lines apparently formed from continuous individual strands. The lines and strands of script crossed and recrossed up and down the walls, across the floor and on high in frozen sine waves, creating the sensation that the alien language was somehow conveyed by the totality of what was before him, rather than its individual elements. Adept Gnome was taking input from a cadaverous-looking scanning servitor, a long umbilical connecting its oversized eye lenses to a socket in the Lexamechanic's chest. Boar was nearby, puzzling over a handheld Auspex.
"Can you make anything of it, Adept Boar?"
Lacius whispered to the rune priest. The sepulchral quiet of the Necrontyr monolith seemed to demand silence, as if noise would manifest all of its invisible crushing weight to punish the impudent interlopers. By unspoken agreement, none of the party had broken that brooding silence with more than a harsh whisper since they had entered.
"No, I am not sure what it's supposed to read in the human optic range. Set your viewpiece to read magnetic resonance and you'll see what I mean."
Lacius fumbled with the focusing knob on the rim of his artificial eye, turning it to scan electromagnetic frequencies. The corridor was bathed in it. Every wall and spine was a tiny energy source which glowed with magnetic force. The overall effect was dazzling, like walking through a glass corridor over an infinite gulf of stars. After a time, Lacius had to reset his vision to blank it out. After an hour of descent, the corridor flattened out and then twisted sharply to the right before being blocked by a portal of black metal. The two lead Praetorians halted before it, their flashlights darkly reflected in the glossy metal of the obstacle. Three geometric symbols were marked on it at knee, waist and shoulder height.
"Should we use weapons via Magus?" asked one of the Praetorians, its plasma cannon eagerly swiveling into the ready position.
Magus Eagle shook his head, stepping up to the door with Gnome faithfully shadowing him with his trailing servitor.
"No, no," Eagle muttered. "I'm sure it's a simple matter of..."
He touched the metal of the portal. Lacius flinched slightly, fearing some ancient Necrontyr death trap. Nothing happened.
"Understanding how to trigger these symbols."
A pregnant silence fell behind Eagle's words. Gnome began analysing the symbols, cross-referencing them with data he stored in his machine-enhanced brain. Lacius softly let out a breath he'd been holding until he heard a new sound, a low buzz which rose quickly to a high-pitched whine. It sounded horribly like a weapon charging up, its capacitors being filled to maximum before it unleashed an atomizing blast. Hairs rose on Lacius's neck. The sigils were flickering with their own light now. Their ghostly fingers of energy could be felt tangibly. The Praetorian sensed it too and went to a threat response, readying and charging their own weapons with a hiss of servos and a whine of capacitors. Lacius felt a surge of panic as if he stood beneath a giant hammer which would smash down at any second. He wanted to run back up the corridor, but his way was blocked by the two rearmost Praetorians. They were swiveling back and forth with their baleful targeting eyes lit as they searched for enemies. One of them turned far enough to spot its companion, and its ruby eye irised down into a pinpoint as it locked on target. The Praetorian's plasma cannon crackled up to full charge, a compressed lightning bolt which would annihilate anything within metres of its impact point. Ossel was gibbering with fear. Lacius was shouting out command dogmas.
"Praetorians! Audio Primus Command! Deus ex terminus est!"
The cannon fired, a searing flash and thunderclap which tore through the other Praetorian and sent white-hot shrapnel scything down the corridor. Ossel bravely shouldered Lacius to one side, saving the old engineer from a fiery demise. Shouts and another roar echoed from near the portal as a wave front of scorching heat washed back up the corridor. The nearby Praetorian swiveled round and trained its plasma cannon on Lacius and Ossel. Its eye glowed with single-minded determination to destroy as it narrowed at them.
"Argus Variat ex communem!"
Lacius shouted hoarsely.
"Shut down!"
The Praetorian sagged down on its chassis like a puppet with its strings cut, and the crisis was over as suddenly as it had begun. The eerie silence fell like a curtain, which was broken by the crackle of tiny fires, the plink of cooling metal, and the groans of Ossel as he writhed on the blood-slick slabs. Metal splinters had struck him in the side when he had saved Lacius. By the blessing of the Omnisire, the wounds were not too deep, and Adeb Boar shrived them with a Semitic welder. Adeb Reynold had not been so lucky, and a shard of smouldering casing had struck him in the throat, almost shearing his head off. Smoke rose from the smouldering remains of the two Praetorians nearest the portal. Gnome's servitor had been destroyed in the exchange of fire as the two destroyed each other, but Magus Eagle and the Lexomechanic were unharmed.
"A sophisticated form of Farian field,"
Gnome explained dispassionately.
"It was cut off when I completed decryption of the portal locks."
A Farian field interfered with brain functions, inducing, among other things, extreme fear responses and seizures. Lacius couldn't help but think the Lexomechanic sounded a little smug. Clear thought indeed. Beyond the portal, the corridor appeared to continue as before. Arsul was sorely hurt in spite of Boar's ministration, and Lacius undertook the ritual to reboot the solitary remaining Praetorian so that it could carry him back to the surface. Arsul protested weakly, but Lacius spoke a few quiet words to him before sending him on his way. The young acolyte looked very much like a child, clinging to the Praetorian's wide back, and Lacius prayed that nothing was waiting back there in the darkness for them. With only 4 tech priests left in the expedition, it seemed dangerous to Lacius to push on, but the Magus insisted, convinced they were at the verge of a breakthrough. Egorg's breakthrough proved to be a labyrinth. The corridor split and then split again and again to become many. The different ways slope sharply up and down, some narrowing to slits too small for even a servo mat to enter. Within 3 turns, Lacius felt thoroughly disorientated. The marching hieroglyphs on the wall seemed to hint at other corridors lying just out of sight, showing outlines of other labyrinths, turnings, dead ends, which were just out of phase with themselves. In the Mechanicus doctrine, the Farian portal alone would have been the subject of months of careful study before further advance was made. The twisting of this alien maze would constitute a lifetime's work with studies of geometry and numerology. Magus Eagle was in no mood to linger, though, and he set Gnome and Boar to calculate a path through. Adept Gnome's vast analytic power was directed entirely into building an accurate map of the interweaving passages they move through using direct observation, phasic scanning, micro-pressure evaluation, and tactile interrogation. Adept Boar used his carefully learned arts, conjecture, and intuition to understand the underlying structure of the maze and to determine what kind of xenomorphic logic would guide them through it. Lacius was reduced to doing the work of a servitor, spooling out power thread and invoking marker points at each junction so that Gnome could tick them off on his mental plan. The spool's marticulator showed less than 1,000 meters left of its 5-kilometer length when they found another portal, though the term seemed inappropriate for the gargantuan metal slabs confronting them. The gleaming, baroquely etched metal stretched up into the darkness further than their hand lights could reach. The corridor angled away in either direction, following some inner wall, but leaving a sizable vestibule that the 4 explorators now occupied. They were dwarfed by the new barrier, rendered so insignificant that the opening of those titanic gates could only foretell their doom at the hand of something ancient and monstrous. Adept Gnome did not even flinch as he stepped forward to begin deciphering the locking glyphs. Lacius's mouth was dry with fear as the adept began tracing the first glyph. He looked back along the corridor, sure he had heard some scuttling noise. The twinkling silver traceries hurt his eyes, mechanical and organic. It took him a moment to realize that shapes were moving across them, silvery, glittering shapes.
"Watch the rear!"
Lacius shouted and hefted his personal weapon, an ancient and beautifully crafted laser made by Ortosian of Arcanes, whose spirit he had long tended to. Its angry red lash was sharp and true. It caught a shape which blew apart in a blinding flash that spoke of minor atomics. The others crouched on their spindly legs and then leapt forward, buzzing down the corridor like a swarm of metallic insects. Each was the size of a man's torso, flattened at the edges like scarabs, and fringed with ferocious-looking hooks and claws. They were fast but so aggressive that they impeded each other's progress as they rattled and bounced off one another. Boar's bolt launcher joined its roaring song to the hiss of Lachius's laser. Their combined fire clawed down three more of the steely scarabs. Nevertheless, Lachius and Boar had to back towards the doors to keep their distance as more swarmed forward.
"Keep them back!" shouted Egil. "Names almost has it!"
Their backs were almost against the doors already. Lachius focused all his attention on tracking and eliminating the machine scarabs, his laser flickering from one to another in a deadly dance of destruction. But they were still getting closer. One scarab ducked between two of its fellows at the point of their destruction and surged forward, while the tech priests were half-blinded by the explosions. The machine's scrabbling claws ripped Boar's bolter from his hands before its momentum carried it over Lachius's head. It bounded off a wall and arrowed down amongst the priests. Lachius flinched away and saw it clamp onto Adept Gnome's back, even as he completed the last sigil. Surgical sharp hooks ripped into the Lexomechanic as the twin portals began to slowly separate.
"Could someone remove this?"
Gnome asked calmly, like a man being troubled by a wasp on a summer's day. The scarab exploded like a miniature nova, and Adept Gnome was gone, consumed in an actinic fireball which knocked Lachius flat. He rolled desperately, purple afterimages flashing in his vision, ears filled with the roar of detonation. He expected to feel the dread weight of one of the machines landing on him at any second. Ossel lay gripped to an operating table by steel bands, the arms of an autochirurgeon delicately sliced at his skin, pulling forth steel splinters and suturing the torn flesh together. Pain blockers numbed his body, but his mind was racing. Father Lachius had told him to prepare their sacred cargo for release. Such a dangerous undertaking was normally only made in response to a signal from the Adeptus Terror on distant Earth. To begin the investiture of the living weapon the ship carried in cryostasis without the initiation code was tantamount to suicide. If the assassin's crypt was opened without receiving the preparatory mnemonics and engrams specifying its target, it would kill everything it found until it was destroyed. Father Lachius, he concluded, must privately believe things had gone very, very wrong indeed. Lachius flinched as something gripped his shoulder and started dragging him backwards. He realized someone was trying to pull him to safety and kicked his legs to scramble across the floor. Moments later, Lachius's vision cleared enough to see that he was beyond the doors and that they were closing. The dark slit of the corridor outside narrowed rapidly as they smoothly swept together. He pointed the laser, still gripped in his shaking hand, but no scarab machines came through the gap before it sealed.
"Splendid. They are without and we are within,"
Magus Eggle's voice said, close to Lachius's ear. He scrambled to his feet as quickly as he could, fearfully looking around. Egil stood nearby, and beyond him the chamber they had entered could be seen in its full majesty. Huge, angular buttresses marched away down either wall, and the floor sloped gently downwards. Frosty pillars of greenish light shone down from an unseen roof to reveal row upon row of tall blocks covered in angular alien script. The air held a chill, and the silence of the labyrinth outside had given way to a gentle susurration like waves against a distant shore.
"Where's Adept Boar?" Lachius demanded.
Egil turned away from his accusing gaze, looking off down the Cyclopean chamber.
"I'm sorry I had to shut the portal, or the scarabs would have killed all of us."
Egil seemed genuinely repentant. He could not even meet Lachius's gaze.
"You just left him outside?"
Lachius's angry words rang hollow even to him. The young rune priest was dead, and recriminations would not bring him back. They were trapped in the centre of the monolith now, the heart of the ancient structure. The Mechanicus-trained academic in him was already studying the chamber, too awed by the storehouse of alien Arcotech to give thought to the cost already incurred. The rows of man-high blocks seemed familiar, something about them. Understanding blossomed with a now familiar tang of fear.
"These are cryostasis machines," he whispered.
Matriculation memo chips in his optic viewer calmly extrapolated that the chamber held over a million of them.
"It's what I brought you to see. They resemble the cryocrypt of the Assassinorum vessel you arrived in, do they not? The best is at the centre. These are just servants. Come, we may look upon a sight no living thing has seen in 600 million years. Egil moved off down the slope, and Lachius numbly followed. They passed block after block, each glittering with a rime of ancient frost. The floor got steeper, until they had to crawl on hands and knees, gripping the blocks to lower themselves down to a flat circular section dominated by an immense stasis crypt. It was a sarcophagus in form, its top moulded into a representation of what lay within. Lachius expected to see a mask of death, like the machine warriors, but instead found vivid life rendered in polished metal, beautiful but inhuman and cruel. Rows of sigils around the lid shone with an inner light, and it felt warm to the touch.
"It's already been opened," said Lachius. "Help me move the lid, I need to see inside."
Between them they managed to turn the huge heavy lid, swiveling it to reveal the interior. The sarcophagus was empty. Egil seemed unsurprised, in fact he was delighted.
"Splendid! Just as I had hoped!"
He reached a gangling arm into the sarcophagus and brought out a silvery, metallic staff.
"Laconus described an artifact like this in the Apocrypha Scaros. He spoke of a symbol of mastery borne by the lords of the Necron Tear, called the Staff of Light."
He hefted the ornate device in both hands. As he did so, an intense blue-white light flared in the symbol at the top of the staff.
"With this, we need fear no denizens of this edifice. With time, they can even be tamed and made to serve."
"But what of the occupant of the crypt?" Lachius asked,
nervously noting the maniacal gleam in Egil's eye.
"The lord and master of this place that we're plundering from. I fear in our current circumstances we could scarcely fend off any kind of attack, and that artifact is more likely to draw one to us. We should go while we still can."
"Very well, but the Staff of Light could be our salvation. It would be madness to leave it behind."
Ossil limped towards the landing field where their ship lay. He had agonized greatly about whether to accede to his mentor's request. By Imperial and Mechanicus law, the activation of one of the lethal members of the Officio Assassinorum without proper authorization was treason of the highest order. Death of the flesh would be a secondary consideration beside the terrible punishments that would entail. But Ossil had spent almost 20 Terran years in the company of Lachius Danzager, studying the tasks he would one day continue when the father was gathered to the Librarium Omnisire. He had imagined he would spend the rest of his life aboard the aging cutter, maintaining its systems and preparing its cargo for Imperial vengeance when it was required. That was not going to be the case now. Ossil had learned enough of Lachius's clarity to understand that the Explorator's expedition was woefully inadequate in the face of the alien terrors of Neo-Geddon. Father Lachius feared the worst, that they were about to unwittingly unleash something so terrible that he believed only an adept of the Eversaur Temple would have a chance of stopping it. And so, the assassin must be prepared. Magus Egil strode ahead confidently through the labyrinth, thrusting out the staff like a torch, its fierce light burning back the shadows and setting the hieroglyphs aflame with blue-white flashes. Lachius scuttled along behind him, jumping at each new scraping, slivering noise, jabbing his pistol towards each new vagrant glitter of steel as it flickered out of sight behind a corner. The denizens of the labyrinth were dogging his heels, giving back before the circle of light from the staff and closing in behind. After what seemed like an eternity, they reached the first portal where they had fallen foul of the Ferran field. The melted wreckage of the Praetorians and Reynold's body were gone, the corridor clear except for the power threads trailing off into the darkness. Magus Egil wanted to stop and investigate, but Lachius feared some assault would take place if they lingered and urged him to press on. The soft scrapes and scratches of movement were behind them now, but following closely all the time. As they started to climb the steps, Lachius looked back and caught sight of dozens of tiny lights floating in the gloom. They looked like blue fires, seemingly cold and distant, but drifting forward in pairs, the twin eyelights of murder machines on their trail. The cold grey light of the outside seemed blinding after the blackness within. The edges of the phasic rift in the structure's outer sheath were wavering alarmingly, and they ran past the entombed Praetorian to stumble out into the gritty dust of the surface. It took Lacius a moment to gain his breath, and he looked up to see Eggle making adjustments to the phase generator.
"You're shutting it down, I trust," said Lacius.
"Quite the contrary. I'm stabilizing it so we can use the same entryway to go back in."
"That's what I thought," Lacius said, and fired his laser.
Ossel's knees almost failed him when he saw their ship. A living sheaf of machines covered it, their silvery bodies shifting over one another as they sought a way inside. The ship carried a great many devices to prevent tampering, as Ossel knew all too well. If the machines found a way in, or worse, still tried to breach the hull, the result could be devastating. He turned and forced his torn legs to start back to the command sphere. Eggle darted away from Lacerus's laser with inhuman quickness, but Lacerus had been aiming at the phase generator's power couplings, and the hit was more spectacular than he had imagined. The key machine detonated, and then imploded, a halo of white-hot flame flashing outwards for a moment before it was dragged back. A ragged distortion veil scattered erratically over the machine, crushing it smaller and smaller as it tried to suck everything nearby into it. Eggle had been blown clear, but was left wrestling to hold onto the alien staff of light as it was drawn inexorably towards the rift.
"Help me, Lacius! I can't hold it!"
Eggle shouted over the piercing shriek of air being annihilated in the void. Lacius levelled his laser at the Magus and shot him in the head without replying. Eggle fell back, clutching his face. The staff plunged into the rift and exploded with a crack like lightning. Ozone hung heavy in the air as Lacius backed away through the laser mesh spines towards the camp. He spared a glance for his treasured weapon's indicator jewel and saw it was dim. His last shot had been at full strength, enough to punch through plasteel. Magus Eggle was still moving, standing up.
"Have you any idea how hard it was to get this texture right?"
he demanded indignantly, indicating the side of his face that had been caressed by steel-burning laser. Charred welts revealed glittering metal beneath, quicksilver curves that betrayed an inhuman yet familiar anatomy. Lacius kept moving back. The figure of the thing that had pretended to be Eggle was getting reassuringly distant, dwarfed by the solid black base of the alien structure. A pair of Praetorians came rattling forward from the midst of the storm bunkers, balefully scanning Lacius with their targeters.
"One life form identified, classified non-hostile," one concluded.
The Magus thing was at the laser mesh. It leapt suddenly, astoundingly covering the 100 meters to Lacius and the Praetorians in a single somersaulting bound.
"One life form identified, classified non-hostile," the other Praetorian stated.
"Surely you didn't believe these clattering toys would be able to identify me," the eagle thing smiled. "I had thought you were one of the more intelligent specimens."
Lacius's mouth was dry with fear, but he managed a curt nod of acceptance before crying out,
"Praetorians! Ordo Primaris Command! Overwatch!"
The Praetorians locked their weapons onto the alien with eye-blurring speed, their simple brains entirely devoted to obliterating the first rapid movement they sensed.
"You forget that I spent time repairing servitors after the last battle. I took the liberty of updating their command protocols at the same time,"
Lacius said with more outrage than he felt. The thing smiled more broadly still and slowly cocked its head to one side. The Praetorian's weapons tracked the minute movement faithfully.
"Good for you, Lacius Danziger. You really are a clever one. How did you know I wasn't human?"
Lacius hesitated for a moment. The thing before him exuded an almost primal sense of power. It was at his mercy for the present, but his instincts told him it could pounce on him at any moment. The Mechanicus in him yearned to learn what he could about it, while his humanity screamed out to destroy it. His curiosity overpowered his instincts for a moment.
"I wasn't sure, but either you were the thing from the crypt or an insane explorator who was bent on unleashing something unspeakable upon the world. When I understood that, my choice became clear. How did you replace Eggle? Did he wake you in there?"
Icy daggers caressed Lachius's back as he talked to the thing, its silver and flesh smile widened even further. "What makes you think I replaced him at all? I have travelled a great distance since my first waking, walked in many places that have changed so much since I last saw them."
"What were you seeking?" whispered Lachius.
The thing's ferocious smile was spread almost ear to ear. "Knowledge, mostly. I wanted to know how the galaxy had fared, who was left after the plague. You can't imagine my surprise on finding your kind and the croc scattered everywhere. I have seen you humans trying to forge an empire in the name of a corpse. I've seen your churches to the machines. Racially, your fear and superstition are most gratifying. You make excellent subjects."
"You are Necrontyr, then? You went into stasis to escape a disease?"
"No, your language is inefficient. The plague was not a disease and it couldn't harm us, but..." The Necrontyr tilted its head back as if dreaming of long-lost times. "It was killing everything else." It looked back at Lachius. "And no, I am not a Necron. You mistake the slave for the master. You'll understand better when I take you back inside." It leapt. The Praetorians blazed into it with lasers and plasma, their bolts lashing at the thin form. Lachius was momentarily blinded by the orgy of destruction, and he fled towards the command centre in the hope of finding reinforcements. He looked back to see a silvery figure ripping pieces out of one of the Praetorians. The other battle servitor was smouldering nearby. The figure waved a piece of carapace jauntily at Lachius. "Sorry, Lachius, I couldn't resist it," the thing called. "My race raised what you call melodrama to a high art form before you were even evolved." It chuckled and returned to eviscerating the Praetorian. Lachius was spinning the lock shut on the command center hatch when he sensed a presence behind him. He turned, too terrified and weary to fight but wanting to see his nemesis. He almost died of relief when he saw it was Ossil.
"Ossil, it's..." "I know, Father. I was watching on the monitor."
"The assassin?"
Lachius gasped as he sagged to the ground.
"I couldn't reach the ship. It was covered by a swarm of insect machines. I'm afraid they'll trigger its anti-tampering protocol sooner or later. I searched for something we could use to protect ourselves, but there were only compounds, nothing complete."
"I fear the thing out there may survive the blast anyway. If so, it would be better to..."
A ringing blow sounded against the hatch, making both Ossil and Lachius jump. Then another blow slammed into it, then a third. At the third blow, a bulge appeared in the Titan-grade adamantium plate. Silence fell.
"I think we'd better look at those components, Ossil,"
Lachius said, struggling to his feet. Ossil fussed around him, his fears assuaged by having someone else to think about. He showed Lachius the ready caskets and crates he had brought.
"I've performed the rites of preparation on these pieces and anointed the calibrators," Ossil said hopefully.
A hissing, popping sound came from the hatch, and a bright heat spot formed at its centre. Lachius looked at the mass of unconnected components and despaired. The heat spot had made a complete orbit of the door, leaving a trail of molten fire behind it. As the circle was closed, the metal fell inwards of its own weight, clanging to the ground and sending up a cloud of reeking fumes. A tall, inhuman figure stepped through the gap.
"Mechanism, restore my spirit. Let the god machine breathe half-life unto thy veins and render thee functional," muttered Lachius, scarcely looking up.
Ossil gasped at the apparition, sure that his life was over.
"Ah, splendid, both of you," it grinned. "Don't tell me you've been trying to make something to stop me. With all your chanting and bone-rattling, it would take days, years."
There was a flash outside, and seconds later, a titanic roar. The blast wave from the Assassinorum vessel's plasma reactor going critical was a second behind that.
"Don't worry, I can save you," the thing grinned again.
"No need,"
grated Lachius, and closed the last connection. A dome of shimmering, bluish light sprang into being. It filled the hatchway with the Necron Master frozen at its centre. It was a charcoal black silhouette in the glare of the plasma flash beyond the field. The rest of the armoured command centre shook and rattled alarmingly, but held, its vulnerable hatch protected by Lachius's improved stasis bubble. After the blast wave had passed, there was a long moment of silence before Ossol asked, "Father, won't the Omnisci be angry that you have mistreated all those machine spirits making the field?"
"It'll be our secret, Ossol. Deus ex Mechanicus. The Emperor watches over us."
Thanks for watching, everybody. Hope you've enjoyed this little exploration. You get the joke? Anyway, thanks for watching. If you like the video, please do like. And if you're not subscribed, please do subscribe. And remember to hit the bell if you are subscribed so you get notified when I do stuff. There's more videos coming up soon. If you'd like to support the channel, please use the links below like these good gents did listed here. And thank you all of you for continuing to support the channel and my work. And onwards and upwards, more good stuff coming soon. I'm working on a lot of scripts and we'll carry on with this stuff for as long as people are into it. See you next time. Cheers.